Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
And today you have Tammy Hall from Bozeman, Montana, my brother up in Canada, Shane. We have two great guests in this time slot. We have Brad Johnson. He is a former CIA agent. And Brad, we need your webpage before you go off the air. He is fighting corruption in the CIA. And he's going to give us his take all through these next 20 minutes on the assassination and, what a mess. Aaron is in Miles City today with the Americans for Prosperity. Go down to Main Street Grind from 7 to 8:30. That's now. And have a cup of coffee with Aaron. And then we'll have the great Steve Daines, our wonderful senator from Montana, who was invited to spend time in the box with the family while Trump gave his speech, which was pretty amazing. Okay, Brad, this assassination attempt, I want to introduce you to Shane, my brother. He'll be talking to you sometimes, but Brad, were you appalled? I mean, was it just, did your heart stop? Did you, when you saw it?
It absolutely did. And for me, this was actually something of a paradigm shift. I think it has changed pretty much the entire political spectrum out there, how people view things and what's going to happen in the next election and just how serious this situation is. I really think it was just one of those moments that's going to turn out to be absolutely pivotal for everyone. And as I think we have all seen, the information just keeps coming out. It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse. I know this has given way to a lot of people speculating that the Secret Service was directly involved. But I don't think it's a case of where you had Secret Service agents conspiring to allow someone to shoot the president, former president of the United States, Trump. I think what it was, I don't know if anyone remembers the movie Serpico, but Serpico was the New York cop that refused to be dirty and wasn't taking payments. And what the other cops did is, as basically revenge to get rid of him, was not murder him. What they did is they refused to help him if anything went bad, and he almost got killed in that way. And I think that's essentially what we saw happen by Secret Service leadership here. They didn't actively conspire to kill Trump, but what they did is they allowed a lot of things to lapse. They allowed things, they allowed not enough support to go to his team. And I think this is part of what we've seen in the, the President Biden's security detail being about twice the number of President Trump's security detail. So they didn't, and the group that they sent in advance, the advanced team that goes to any location was, say, three people, where other teams, that went out for, say, President Biden would be, 20 people. Things like that were happening. So they were starving the Secret Service security team through bureaucracy, cutting the budget, reducing the number of people involved. They were allowing circumstances to take place that would give openings for a shooter to come in and try and kill Trump. And I think that's precisely what happened.
Now, can I ask you a question, Brad? I would agree with you that we're going to go out of here in about 10 seconds, but we'll come back. We'll finish this. I ask you to think about, was it a conspiracy or was it incompetence? Because neither one.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Lawmakers thought they had a fix a few years ago for a federal fund for crime victim services, which was running low on cash. A law signed by President Biden in 2021 opened up a new source of money for the fund, criminal penalties and fines paid by companies through out-of-court settlements. But the so-called fix has proved to be anything but. The Congressional Budget Office estimates that an extra $7.5 billion would flow into the fund over 10 years as a result of the new revenue source. Instead, annual fund balances have continued to dwindle from a peak of $13 billion in fiscal 2017 to an estimated $1.5 billion this year. The funding crunch has baffled some lawmakers. They're demanding answers from the Justice Department as to where all the new revenue is going. Spearheading the probe is Republican Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Congress created the Crime Victims Fund in 1984. It's designed to help victims meet the cost of medical care, mental health counseling, lost wages, temporary housing, and more, without relying on taxpayer dollars. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News. News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With lots of sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures will stay in the upper 90s in Bozeman to around 105 in the Billings area. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies, lows near 60 in Bozeman to around 70 in Billings. And then the outlook for Saturday does call for more sunshine, 96 in Bozeman with a high around 100 in Billings. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Today is Tammy Hall from Bozeman, Montana, my brother Shane, my husband Kelly on some of the buttons, and Travis, the great engineer, on all the rest. Our guest today is Brad Johnson, a retired CIA agent. Before this 7-minute segment's up, I need him to give the webpage of how he's trying to fight corruption in the CIA. I would just say to you, Brad, my last comment was this a conspiracy or incompetence? Because it's one or the other. And the lack of transparency has most of Americans leaning quickly to conspiracy. I have a very good friend who ran 4 presidential events in Montana. She happened to be with me when we watched the event, and she came unglued. She said even in Montana, the sniper stood on the roof 2 hours before and told every possibility of where somebody could shoot, and they had to go clear out that building or that barn or whatever. And she said they had one line of communication, and nobody was alarmed on that line unless it was an emergency. And it didn't matter if you were a sheriff, a policeman, or a Secret Service, you were kept that line clean, and they weren't using that one line. And she picked apart what should have been done. So in the time we have left, you know, what's going on here? Because something was really wrong. And saying it's understaffed and sloppy just doesn't cut it. This is a United States president, right?
Yes, that's absolutely correct, and it is. There was certainly incompetence displayed, and your conspiracy is that one's a little more difficult to define precisely. With this, was it a conspiracy in the sense that they allowed this to happen? Yes, was it? But I would distinguish that sort of conspiracy from, like, they were in contact with this shooter beforehand and had planned something out with him. I don't think it goes into that arena of conspiracy, but certainly, I mean, you can go right down the list. I mean, I've been at presidential events as the agency. I mean, the agency always has a collection role in presidential visits of any sort, and the Secret Service always brings in a team in advance. They've scouted out all of the sites where a shooter could possibly be long before the event takes place. Some, depending on the size of the event and so on, I mean, it might be the day before, it could be days before. It just, a lot of factors go into when that is done, but that's what the Secret Service does.
We talked about this for 2 weeks. I have a question for you.
Shane, you need to talk up, hon.
I said, if you could explain, please, to everyone, because no one's talked about this, what is the Secret Service protocol for agent being relieved for failing to do his duty? So that's what happened here, and no one's been put on leave or even fired. But what's the protocol for being put on leave for failing?
Well, that's an administrative action that can be done pretty much any time by anyone far enough up the food chain to have the authority to do so. So certainly that could be done. Here's the problem with this whole thing, and this is kind of, I would say, the aspect of that this really isn't being focused on, is that there's probably nothing illegal that was done anyway up and down this whole situation by the Secret Service, because they weren't, like I said earlier, they weren't like talking to the shooter or arranging the whole thing. None of that took place. It's just they sent 3 people for the advance team instead of 20. Now, that's not breaking the law. That's not illegal. Can you look at it and say in confidence? Yes, but, you know, what was the budget? You know, did they only have this amount available to send to these people based on the cost and all of these sorts of things? So there is that layer of bureaucracy that covers this whole thing so that, you know, that you can say, well, yes, sometimes the procedures are sent 20, sometimes the procedures are sent 10, sometimes 3, and this happened to be 3 based on budget and other things that we had to do, blah, 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 blah. They have got this layer of bureaucracy that's going to save them from all of this. I don't think, no matter how you investigate it, no matter what happens, I don't think anyone is going to be punished in any way other than the head of the Secret Service already having resigned. I think that provides cover for everyone else down the line, which
and
is why
she
think,
was,
behind the scenes, why she did it,
and
which
she
provides
was a,
cover to everybody.
She was a DEI hire. People say that when you deal with issues like this, the DEI becomes DIE, die. But she was a DEI hire. And they said last night on the news that the senators know who the one Secret Service was in charge of the entire event was, but they won't say, but that it is a woman and she was a DEI hire.
That may be. The man who's now acting, who was the deputy, is
right.
The man that was in charge of the day-to-day operations. That is where the responsibility lies in him. And as I said, there's enough cover provided. His boss already resigned. So what are you going to do? You know, what is there to do? The congressional hearings are political posturing. You know, nothing is going to come out of that.
Yes.
Just the fact that those are going on doesn't help anybody do anything. And until you get some sort of criminal investigation going on, which they're not going to do, nothing is ever going to happen. I mean, this is the problem we fall into all the time. And this is why the deep state gets away with all the crap they get away with.
And
nobody's
I think you said something magic. Bureaucracy can't perform. Bureaucracy, when it gets this big, screws up everything it touches. And under the Biden cackling Kamala, they have screwed up more than in the past.
Absolutely, they have. And from their perspective, this, I don't even think they view this particularly as screwing up. Now, I'm talking in general terms, not about Trump. I mean, there's a lot of people on the left that you have seen in the news and talk about it for years about Trump that would love to see Trump dead. And you saw on the social media the people celebrating the fact that we were only 2 inches off from having a dead Trump. Which is madness.
Hey, we're about to go out of time. I want you to give your really quick your number.
Brad Johnson, and I'm president of an organization called Americans for Intelligence Reform, AIR. The website is intelreform.org.
We first broke the news on our Montana Talks app that Donald J. Trump is hosting a Trump rally right here in Montana. That's right, Friday, August 9th. President Trump hosting a rally in Bozeman alongside Navy SEAL veteran and Republican U.S. Senate candidate Tim Sheehy. We got the story on our Montana Talks website. In fact, we broke that news exclusively at MontanaTalks.com. That's why you got to get the Montana Talks app on your phone.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
As Montana, Wyoming, and Idaho work to delist the grizzly bear, Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon this week is criticizing the federal government's delays in responding to a petition by the three states to delist grizzly bears in the greater Yellowstone ecosystem. The state has filed a response to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's notice of their inability to meet the deadline, demanding a decision by October 31st of this year. Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon emphasized the greater Yellowstone ecosystem grizzly populations have met recovery goals repeatedly over the past 4 decades and criticized the ongoing federal management and costs involved. Wyoming asserts it has a robust plan for grizzly management and will not tolerate further delays. In other news, ag machinery manufacturers are facing financial difficulties, with John Deere reporting declining sales and layoffs. CNH Industries, makers of Case and New Holland products, have announced poor Q2 2024 results, where revenue has dropped 16% due to low demand, and net income fell to $438 million from $710 million. Agriculture net sales decreased by 20% to $3.9 billion, mainly due to low shipments in North America, the Middle East and Africa, and South America. While demand for tractors and combines fell in those regions, demand in the Asia-Pacific saw slight increases. I'm Lane Northland.
Sir,
serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
And today with Tammy Hall from Bozeman, Montana, and my little brother Shane from up in Canada. We just finished up. I have a guest I'm just saying goodbye to, Brad Johnson, who's a retired CIA agent. But Brad, before Steve Daines, our great senator, comes on, I was getting your webpage of where you can get more information on how to fight corruption in the CIA. Would you give that again, please?
Certainly. It's www.intelreform.org, intelreform.org. And I will say, I'm heavily censored, so if your browser does not take you to it, that's completely purposeful, and just keep trying browsers till it lets you go through.
Okay. Brad Johnson, great information. I think what I summed up from it all was that the shooting of President, right now President, what we know of the great President Trump was bureaucracy cannot perform when it gets too big. And it's too big, and it's a mess, and it's mismanaged by Biden and Kaklin Kamo. So thank you, Brad. You were wonderful. I appreciate it so much. And have a good
thank
day,
you,
friend.
Great to speak with you. Thank you.
Thank you. And now we have, I've known this kid since he was a kid. He's not a kid anymore. This is my incredible senator, Steve Daines. Hey, Steve, do you remember when you got elected and I said, I know you're important and you always will be and you'll always be my senator, but first and foremost, oh, I lost him. Have you got a line there? Okay. Anyway, Steve, are you there, babe? Steve Daines, our senator?
This is Gabby for Senator Daines. I think I just lost y'all for a second.
Oh, we're right here. Yeah, sorry. I think we lost you on the buttons. We've got buttons here. Anyway, Steve Daines, is he there now?
Let me go ahead and add him right now.
Okay, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Of course. Looking forward to it.
Okay, but as Steve's getting on the phone, I just wanted to say that I've known Steve since he was a young boy. His parents grew up by us in Beth Drive. His father was a block away from me, and so was his mother, and they've been sweethearts since high school. And when his dad went off the market because he started dating his mother, there were a lot of people really mad about that because he had gotten
cheap.
Okay, and I also wanted to say about Steve. Are you there, Steve?
I'm here, Tammy. Good to hear your voice.
Oh, you too, buddy. I want to say, I hope you remember when you became senator, and we went to your swearing in D.C., Kelly and I, and that was taking money out of retirement to do something on our bucket list. And I said to you, you are my senator. I respect you forever. I won't come to you for a need unless it's crucial, but I will pray for you all the time because, first and foremost, you're my Christian brother. And I have never broken that pledge to you, buddy.
Oh, Tammy, so grateful. I hope the listeners also know that our friendship goes back a lot further than a U.S. Senate race in 2014. We crossed paths when I was at Bozeman High School, and you were on the school board.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you went to Boys State, and then you were the school board representative from the student class. You are amazing. So, Steve, I have to tell you,
this is Shane. Steve, this is Shane. Real quick, two things I want to say.
Cloud,
first
Shane.
Of all, I was at your campaign party the night you were elected. I was at Tammy's table, 10 feet away, and I was the first to jump up, walk to the stage, and address you as Senator-elect Steve Daines. Steve Daines, and shook your hand. I'm so proud of that moment. And the second thing is, I want to congratulate you for the incredible job you're doing as chairman of the Senate Reelection Committee for the Republicans. And I believe we're speaking to the next Senate Majority Leader of the United States.
That's
you
what
go,
I think.
Guy.
All right, Steve, we've got two topics. Thank you, Shane. That was wonderful. Two topics.
Nice,
we have 10 minutes here, now about seven. I'd like to talk to you about a couple of things. Of course, Kaklin Kamala. But you have a new, deal about the abduction of the protecting and defending the Constitution with the 9/11 terrorists and the deal that was made, which is horrible, Steve. Would you talk about that?
Yeah, Tammy, I'll tell you something. I've been down to Gitmo in Cuba and literally was standing
in front of the cell where Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was being kept. And, you have these different experiences in life, but it was one of those moments I felt like I was in the presence of pure evil. It was one of those moments where the hair kind of stands up on the back of your neck. And to think that the Harris-Biden administration struck a plea deal with these terrorists, including the mastermind of 9/11, is reprehensible. It is reprehensible. It's a complete abdication of responsibility to protect and defend the Constitution and to protect the United States of America. It dishonors the memory of every single victim of the 9/11 terrorist attack. You know, there's a basic truth. I wouldn't even call it a principle. It's a truth. You do not negotiate with terrorists, including terrorists that we have in American custody. So this is outrageous, Tammy. I can't condemn it any more than what I've said. It's there's no more words to describe the terrible, terrible decision that was made by
Kamala
Harris.
How could they do this without your permission? I mean, you didn't know about it till recently, right?
Right. No, look, the executive branch has a lot of power, and that is a problem, Tammy. Our founding fathers, if they were to come back to the country today and do an audit of what's going on in this country, they'd be shaking their heads as to the power that is currently in what we call the Article II branch. The Article I branch is the legislative branch. That was supposed to have the most power, those who were elected by the people of this country. The executive branch was the branch they feared because of kings. The greatest, most toxic threat to liberty is concentration of power. And that is one of the problems we face, Tammy, is there's way too much power in the executive branch.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And they're doing more and more and more. I think it started with Obama when he said, I have a pen and a phone and I can do anything. And we've got to rein it back. And I think Republicans forget that if you give power to Republicans, it also goes to Democrats. And, but the problem is Republicans tend to be, I believe, know the Constitution. And 90% of them are patriots who will follow the Constitution and they won't violate those laws just to violate them. But Democrats have no respect for it, so they keep doing it. And
look, Tammy, in that point, that is why you're seeing these horrible attacks on the U.S. Supreme Court by Chuck Schumer and by the Senate Democrats, by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, because we have a conservative court, thanks to President Trump, and going through the process the right way, which is presidents nominate Supreme Court justices and the Senate confirms, we now have a conservative court. The liberals don't like that. And that is why they want to pack the court. They want to move from 9 to 13 justices. And if we lose the Supreme Court, lose the courts, you've lost one of the last checks and balances we have. The Supreme Court is doing a wonderful job brushing back the overreach of power of the executive branch. And some of these very, very important decisions have come down over the course of the last 30 days. So this is one of their last attacks from the left, is to completely undermine and destroy the integrity of the United States Supreme Court. That is why this next election is so important. Because if we don't send Tim Sheehy back to Washington, D.C., and we don't win the majority control of the United States Senate, they will eliminate the filibuster, they'll pack the courts, add D.C. as a state, take over all the election laws from the states, and the Republic truly is at risk. And I fear for our country if we don't get the majority back in the United States Senate.
You know, we skipped the Fox News so we could keep you on here. And we have a couple more minutes. Would you share with us, people don't know that Steve has a huge job, and Shane, thank you for mentioning it, as control of Senate reelection. But if we give Trump the White House with a Democrat-controlled Senate, we have tied his arms behind his back and knocked him to his knees and expected him to govern in a coma like Joe Biden. So we've got to give him the Senate. And tell me what you're doing in that way.
Right, Tammy. Well, when I was first elected to this leadership position, and this is, I'm chairman of the National Republican Senatorial Committee. That is one of the six elected leaders for the Republicans in the U.S. Senate. This is a two-year assignment. I began this job in January of 23, right after the 22 election. One of the first things I did, Tammy, is I flew down to Mar-a-Lago. I met personally, face-to-face, in a quite intimate meeting with President Trump. and we laid out our thinking and our plans to make sure we gave him a Republican majority. Because I said, Mr. President, the very first phone call you make when you're elected in November of 24...
Hey, will be Steve, we have about 10 seconds. Can you stay for a little bit, or do you have to go?
You know, I'm going to say, I'm not sure my next call is, but I'll stay, Tammy. Let's keep going.
Democracy 2024.
Former President Trump responding to presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Vice President Kamala Harris, saying she'd proudly put her record against his.
Well, Kamala, let's go. Challenge accepted. Are you ready? Let's compare our record. 45 points.
Telling a Harrisburg crowd,
she is the most extreme liberal candidate in the history of our country by far.
Slamming the Biden administration's border policies.
She inherited the strongest border in U.S. history and immediately turned it into the worst border nightmare in the history of the world.
Taking aim at Harris's push for stricter gun control measures and green energy policies, vowing to protect the Second Amendment and to better secure the border.
Nothing will stop us on our mission to make America great again. Nothing's going to stop us.
Reflecting on being back in Pennsylvania since being shot. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
And today, the host is myself, Tammy Hall from Bozeman. I'm talking to, actually, one of my heroes, Steve Daines. I've known him a long time, and I watched him grow from an exceptional young man in high school all the way through college, where he was sent to Hong Kong to open up the market, China, for Procter & Gamble, back before China was trying to take over the world. He was just a young man. And he's an amazing, amazing person. And he's now one of the highest six-ranked senators with this position to help us take back the Senate. Before I go to that, I'd like to remind everybody that Aaron is in Miles City with Americans for Prosperity. So go down to the Main Street Grind from 7 to 8:30. I guess that's now on. No, you've got plenty of time. And he'll be there and you can visit with him. Okay. Steve, you were talking about the Senate races and we have to take them. Is it possible? Is it still feasible after cackling Kamala?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the Senate for a moment. When I told President Trump back in January of 23 in Mar-a-Lago, the first call you're going to make is to the majority leader of the United States Senate that can't be Chuck Schumer. Imagine Trump's elected and Chuck Schumer's running the Senate, because some of the first nominations we move through in the Senate floor, in fact, the day the president's inaugurated, will be the Secretary of Defense, Secretary of Treasury, Director of the CIA, Secretary of State, these really important cabinet positions. If you think the resistance movement was bad in 17 after Trump was elected, take that times 100 in the U.S. Senate. They will vote against everything President Trump tries to do, everything. Remember that John Tester voted to impeach President Trump twice. He voted against every one of the three Supreme Court nominees of President Trump. He voted against the Trump tax cuts. He has an F rating from the NRA. Kim Chi has an A. And on the other side, when Biden's elected, I've watched this day after day, John Tester votes with Joe Biden 95% of the time. By the way, with Kamala Harris and the important tie-breaking votes, there have been 33 tie-breaking votes in the U.S. Senate that Kamala Harris has been the tie-breaking vote as the vice president. John Tester voted with Kamala 100% of the time, including $4 trillion of crazy spending that lit the inflation fires. And the people of Montana need to hear this from every corner of our state, because what's at stake if we elect Tim Shee, which I think we're going to do, that puts the majority control in the hands of the Republicans. So it really begins right here in the state of Montana. So the stakes could not be higher. That's why you're seeing all these crazy ads right now. But we've got to get this done. That's why President Trump is coming to Bozeman on Friday. I've been talking to President Trump for months saying, we've got to get you into Montana for Tim Sheehy. President Trump is coming to Montana for one reason. It's Tim Sheehy. He needs this Senate seat. Tim Sheehy is the most likely pickup seat right now on the Republican map. So That's why he's coming. He'll be in Bozeman on Friday for an 8 p.m. rally in the field house. Let's pack that place out and give President Trump a huge Montana welcome. Let me talk about Kamala for a moment. Go ahead, Pierre.
I was just going to say that I've met Sheehy, and it was funny. The first event we went to was Sheehy. I was doing the prayer, and it was an event with some on national security, and there were some people there that had been national security people under Trump. And a campaign manager, I love him, Shane, came up to me and said, "Have you decided on who you're going to support between Rosendale and Sheehy?" I said, "Well, we're keeping our powder dry on that." And then Sheehy got up to speak, and I looked at Kelly after 5 minutes, and I said, "Is our powder dry?" And Kelly said, "No, our powder is Sheehy." He said, "We are in 100%. Once we heard him, once we got to know this man, breaks my heart what they're trying to do to him. He is as high quality a man as we could ask for in the U.S. Senate. And I just hate the way they're trying to destroy him."
Yeah, well, gosh, you know, Tim, we've known Tim a while. Not only is he a Naval Academy grad, 200 combat missions as a Navy SEAL. His wife, Carmen, is also a Naval Academy grad and a U.S. Marine with her four kids. They're an amazing couple, an amazing dad, amazing business guy. And it's awful. They're trying to destroy her. They tried to do that to me, too, Tammy. They tried to destroy me when I ran against Steve Bullock. I got outspent by $50 million here in Montana. And guess what? It didn't work. It's not going to work this time either. Tim Sheehy's going to win this race. We just have to show up and make sure he gets all the votes. But let me talk about Kamala Harris for a moment. If you like San Francisco politics, you're going to love Kamala Harris. I've served with Kamala for 4 years in the U.S. Senate. She sat right next to me when I served in the Homeland Security Committee for 2 years. She was literally my seatmate. She was ranked the most liberal U.S. senator of all 100, the most liberal, further to the left of Bernie Sanders. I mean, it's a chilling thought that she is a nominee now to be president of the United States. And I don't think the American people are going to elect somebody who is so far left. She's not Joe Biden from Scranton, Pennsylvania, an Irish Catholic guy. She is a radical from San Francisco. And remember who recruited her to the United States Senate to run in 2016? John Tester.
No.
John Tester had my job in 2020 before the Democrats. He recruited Kamala Harris to the United States Senate. That was John Tester. I'm sure that's part of history that they'd like to erase if they could.
How can they keep erasing her record? Are they going to be successful? They have the whole media.
They're trying. Tammy, that most liberal U.S. senator of all 100, that was on an objective third-party group called GovTrack. They have now taken that down. When she said, "I want to ban fracking," they're doing all they can to take that down. So they are going to try to cover her tracks. She's not done a single media interview for the last 13 days since she was announced to be the nominee. So they're going to put her in the bunker like they did with Biden back in 20 and hope she never sees daylight, because if she gets out there in front of the press, even the fawning liberal press, she'll start going through these word salads and this nonsense she talks about, and that will expose the real Kamala Harris.
Yesterday, they had a press conference, and they were trying to bring her forward to explain these Russians that were, or Americans that were released by Russia, and she was off a teleprompter. And boy, did she have a word salad. She said this was all because of diplomacy. Diplomacy matters. It's such important that we have diplomacy. We need leadership and we need diploma. I mean, I don't know. The debate should be fun. Do you think there'll be a debate?
Yeah. I hope there's a debate. And I'll tell you, this is serious stuff, Tammy. Do you realize the Iranians are doing all they can to make sure that President Trump's defeated? They're all in behind Kamala Harris. They want a weak leader like Kamala, like Joe Biden, because you remember under President Trump, they had the sanctions in place that had Iran on the ropes. Iran was struggling. Biden lifted those sanctions. It threw another nearly $100 billion of oil revenues and so forth into the Iranian coffers. That's what ignited Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis in the Middle East. And good grief, I mean, we are just inches away from a full-out kinetic war right now with Hezbollah attacking Israel from the north out of Lebanon. And that's why, for many reasons, and just start with foreign policy, that we've got to elect President Trump, because a weak president like Kamala Harris is a very, very dangerous move, not only for the United States, but for the free world.
Our kids will be called up to serve.
And if I may, Tammy,
the
most important job the vice president has is to preside over the Senate as the president of the Senate. And she's only sat in that seat to cast votes on tiebreakers. That should be brought up in the campaign, Steve, because it's another example of her failed job as vice president, not doing her principal job to preside over the Senate as president while it's in session every day.
Yeah, Shane, I'll tell you. But here's a really important point in that. We've had 47 vice presidents since this great nation was founded, 47. The number one tie-breaking casting vice president in our country's history is Kamala Harris. She's broken more ties than any other vice president. She just surpassed John Calhoun and John Adams, who both served eight-year terms. But here's the important point to connect it back to Montana. She cast 33 tie-breaking votes. That included some horrible nominations, radical nominees in the Biden administration. But she broke the tie on the Inflation Reduction Act and the massive stimulus package of $2 trillion. This is $4 trillion of borrowed money that ignited inflation, has created the mess we have in the economy right now. Here's the important point. John Tester voted with Kamala Harris on every single one of those votes. Had John Tester just voted with me on those 33 votes, Kamala would not have had a tie-breaking vote, and we would have defeated it in the United States Senate. That message has to get out to the people of Montana.
It does. Hey, Steve,
we have about
45 seconds left. Would you give us a little encouragement? How do you not get discouraged? I think Americans are getting kind of down. I need your help.
We have about
10 seconds.
Don't be discouraged. Get out and vote in the fall. A resounding victory for President Trump and Tim Sheehy in Montana is a place to start. We'll get the majority control back. We'll win back the House. President Trump's elected. This will be a 1980 Reagan moment. We went from Jimmy Carter and the despair of inflation and weak America to the strength of Ronald Reagan.
Customer service. For a lot of people, that's an easy way to ruin a good day. But at Zendesk, we make the customer experience better. Better for your grand, better for your florist, better for the guy in apartment 3A.
Hey.
Better for you, better for everyone. Because while some say the customer is always right, we say the customer is always human. And as fellow humans, we want to do something better for all of us. Zendesk, customer experience with AI built for humans.
Fox News commentary.
Joe Rogan made a prediction about the upcoming election, and it's gut-wrenching. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in free-fall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Podcaster Joe Rogan is not a fortune teller or even a political pundit, but he does have an enormous reach and popularity in America, and he has his finger on the pulse of the average person. That's why it's super concerning that on a recent episode of his podcast, Rogan warned that Kamala Harris will likely win the election. He predicts this will be the case because American viewers and voters are buying into the, quote, BS anti-Trump narrative more than ever before. Rogan sees the writing on the wall. The media has its thumb on the scale, and it's tipping in the direction of Kamala Harris. And I would be lying if I said I wasn't concerned about the same phenomenon. The Democrats played a shady yet strategic game this election. They pulled their candidate about 100 days before Election Day and threw in what they are treating as the bright new shiny object, Kamala. Her honeymoon high could very well last till November. The media is on her side, fundraising on her side. Hollywood has her back. This is going to be an uphill battle. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Some people wonder how many credit cards they should own. Well, there's no magic number, but the amount you have and their combined credit limits can affect your credit scores, which will then affect your ability to secure important things like car loans and apartment rentals. Credit bureaus suggest that you have five or more accounts, which can be a mix of cards and loans, since having very few accounts can make it hard for them to render a score for you. But on the other hand, having too many might result result in missed payments and drag your credit scores down. It might seem obvious, but the more credit cards you have, the more due dates and credit limits you'll need to keep track of. One solution is automating monthly payments or changing your due dates to the same day or to align with paydays to make sure you remember to pay your balance in full. About 35 to 40% of your credit scores is determined by your payment history, which means paying on time is far more important than how many cards you have. Save it, Robin. Yum.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spa Studio, the hot tub company your friends recommend.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
And today it's Tammy Hall from Bozeman, Montana. What a privilege. I always consider it an honor, incredible honor. I never take it for granted. I do a lot of research and I do a lot of praying, so I don't misuse this podium, as we say, the privilege of the podium. Aaron is in Miles City with Americans for Prosperity. Go on down to Main Street Grind and have some coffee with him from 7 to 8:30. Next hour, we have two great guests I'm very excited about. We have Ryan Zinke, our congressman, and we have Don Kay, the head of the Montana Republican Party. I think you'll have a good chance to hear from them. Shane, what were your reactions to Steve and Brad? Shane on? Not hearing him. So until Shane gets on there, I just would like to share that I was really appreciative of what Brad shared. I am every day that something kind of goes wrong, and we learn more about this assassination attempt of our president. I get angrier and angrier. I have some notes that I have been taking for it, but I would remind people that that roof, they have pictures. They released them last night, and they're just stunning. It's the man who was shot, not the one who was killed, but the man who was shot very seriously. And right before he shot, he had his camera up there on that roof, and he can see the guy running along with his gun. Now, if a fellow standing in the stands could see that, then it's absolutely irresponsible that the snipers couldn't. I would also say that to me, one of the biggest problems, and I guess I don't necessarily think that from beginning to end this was a huge conspiracy, but I can tell you what I think was a conspiracy. Somebody inside the Secret Service was not doing their job on purpose. Now, not all of them, and that's really important to say, but the fact that they reported that this kid went through with a rangefinder and was dinged at the detection equipment, the fact that he was seen three different times by people, and all three of those times he was reported to the Secret Service on the one channel, and the Secret Service said, we've got it. If I were investigating, I would be investigating that person. The person who kept saying, we've got that, because obviously he didn't have that. And I think he's a place to start. I think that there are problems that he was seen. Nothing was done. The two police officers that were in the building looking at the roof, they had a window seat and they could see the entire roof. And when they said he was missing, they left that site, and they could have seen the roof. The window was open. They could have shot him. That's a serious, serious problem. I do agree with Don, who is a CIA agent, retired, when he said that bureaucracy is just so out of control. The DEI hirings, the problems with that. You know, I know it's stressful, but they should have had sightings. This is a God thing. It says in the Bible, we get the leaders that we deserve. And I can tell you that we get the leaders that we deserve. And we have, as a country, God has given us this mess. And let's prove to him that we're worthy of better. We only have, I think, here about a minute, but let's take this caller. Steve Ballantyne on line one, Kelly. If you would hit that, we have... Go ahead. Steve Ballantyne, can you hear me?
Okay. You there?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Hey,
you got
Tammy,
a minute.
Just real quick. On this bull, this anti-Shehe ad that they're putting out right now, it's a bunch of bull.
Isn't it?
Well, anyway, just real quick. If you go out and buy a car, you're going to drive a car. If you go out and buy a grocery store, you're going to probably keep it as a grocery store. and I caught it yesterday. This ad says that he bought a, not he just bought a hobby ranch. They're making it, you know, they didn't really think about it. Okay, let's just say it was a hobby ranch. Just bought a hobby ranch. Like if you're going to go buy a car.
We're about out of time. You know, do you want to hold over?
You know, I'm just saying it's, they're making it sound like it's, you know, that he just bought it and turned it into
Military Matters.
In his fourth address to Congress, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu made the case for the White House not to withhold weapons to Israel again over concerns about the number of civilian casualties in Gaza.
In World War II, as Britain fought on the front lines of civilization, Winston Churchill appealed to Americans with these famous words, "Give us the tools and we'll finish the job." Today, as Israel fights on the front line of civilization, I too appeal to America. Give us the tools faster, and we'll finish the job faster.
The Israeli Prime Minister, who is very unpopular at home, used his speech to describe the axis of evil led by Iran.
Iran understands that to truly challenge America, it must first conquer the Middle East. And for this, it uses its many proxies, including the Houthis, Hezbollah, and Hamas. For Iran, Israel is first, America is next.
For Military Matters at the Pentagon, Jennifer Griffin, Fox News.